Maria, how are you?
I'm splendid. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I can't complain. How's your summer?
I don't even know how to answer that. What summer?
What summer?
No,
I know. Sheltered in place.
it's been Yeah, it's good though. I'm starting to enjoy working from home.
Okay. All right. Well, I've decided to get out a little bit and
Yeah.
with a friend, and I had and last weekend I went to Sausalito, California, which is kind of a little bay area that with seafood restaurants and museums and shops and things. It's almost like being on a little island, and you go around, walk around, and went there, had a good time. And the previous week I went over to Fisherman's Wharf and ordered crab sandwiches and clam chowder, and walked around the area. And last weekend I was up in Lake Tahoe.
Well, look at you are getting around.
Yeah, and that's all been just recent. Before, I was just kind of sticking close to home, so I'm glad to be out a little bit.
Good.
Yeah, so of course we're surrounded by fires. There's close to 600 fires out here right now.
Yeah, I was actually just speaking to someone who's out there in California. He said today's a little bit better, not as much smoke in the air as there was yesterday.
Yeah, but it was so thick you could cut it with a butter knife.
That's
It's
rough.
yeah, so a lot of fires, but we're hanging in there.
Good, good.
Lake Tahoe was very clear, breathable air, very nice, no smoke.
I'm sure that was a nice change.
Yeah, that was a nice change up in the mountains, and it's where they have a lot of the ski resorts in California.
Okay.
Yeah, but during the summer it's equally as nice. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Hi,
So,
I'm here.
Devin, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
All right,
See
let me
how,
conference Michael in real quick.
okay. See, when I don't see your faces, I assume you guys just rolled out of bed, put your pajamas on, and got on Zoom.
That's pretty accurate.
I know. From the top up, I'm looking kind of professional here. But I've got my workout shorts on and that sort of thing.
All right, I got Michael on here with us now.
Okay, good.
Good, thanks. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Just running around like usual.
I know. Well, hopefully, we talked last week, that you're getting an opportunity to enjoy some of the summer.
I am. It
Okay,
never
good.
fucking stops.
Yeah. Well, Michael,
But it's all good.
I've got an agenda today of a couple of items, and but before I get started, I want to make sure that there's whatever's on your mind that I make sure that I cover today. So, want to give
Nope,
me
let's
some
roll
insight?
with yours.
Okay. Well, I think we wanted to follow up, and I think I'm going to talk about two things. This whole idea of adding another team member and what their function might be, and I think that's the main thing. And then the second thing, I think, from accountability standpoint, just give me an update in terms of how you're doing, and I think that would be it for today's call, and anything you have in mind for the future. Okay. In terms of conversation. So,
Let's roll.
all right. So the first thing is I sent you a proposal, and what I want to do between now and the next week is make any refinements to the proposal that you can make a submission to management on your requirements for adding another individual. So in essence, with the matrix that I created, I have you as kind of the senior FA in charge. You've got a junior FA, which is Maria, and then you wanted to add a CFP to the mix that could be a credentialed person with a CFP slash CPA or an attorney, and that you also have a dotted line to a portfolio manager that sits away from the team in another location. So that's our current, he's a virtual portfolio manager. That's our current structure. So
everything looks good so far.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be super selective with this person I bring on as a CFA of sorts.
Okay.
So right now the existing team is working fine with that.
Okay.
The performance has been better this year than in years past.
Okay.
But still, I still would love to have that internal kind of, I don't know, nerdy type of person.
Right.
That's into market, stuff like that, and then can handle bigger relationships, those type of conversations. So I guess I need to find that person before I bring that to management. And your proposal, the way you set it up, is great, the way you bring it up to management. Do you think I need to have that person kind of ready to go?
Okay, well, you know, look, I think what I did is there's a couple of ways to go here. One is, you know, you have to be careful about trying to expect too much out of one individual, and you have to think about what you think might be the greatest need. Is the greatest need somebody that can also work with clients and do planning and talk about the markets, or is it a person that really is a planner and a portfolio manager in combination? What do you think?
So I think it's the latter.
Yeah. He's a portfolio manager, is what you're saying?
Yeah, at some point I would love to have that. Just take that off my plate.
Okay. So,
but for the existing purposes, John Cook's done a pretty good job here so far this year.
Okay. Now, one of the things I did is I just went through, just for my own personal edification, I went through a number of financial planning organizations around the Dublin area. And just to see what their team structures look like. And I'll send you links so that you can look at them as well. But just in your area, and this doesn't take into consideration those folks that might exist at competitive firms. Okay. So you need a, but anyway, what I found was I looked at Alpha Financial Planning. I looked at Keeler and Nadler. I looked at the Safe Harbor Financial Group. And I looked at PDS Planning. And they all seem to have some very experienced firms, and they're operating as RIAs. So they're in the independent channel. So that's one area of the market that the search could look at, is who's in the independent space. And then the other is to look at those that might be in the broker-dealer space, someone that's got the credentials that might be at a competitive firm such as a Merrill Lynch, a UBS, that has the credentials that you're looking for. But you're going to have the criteria, and then have the recruiter source the applicants, and then your firm is going to have to offer the compensation package. Okay. Now, how does that sound to you so far?
So far, so good.
So now
so
you're
how
getting,
do I find these people? I scrub and find these people?
Well,
or have
what
a
happens?
Or what?
Yeah, basically a headhunter, a search organization. Your firm has these folks all online. They call around. They try to look at the criteria that you have. And then they start bringing names to you. You know, you can have management screen, identify, interview, and then for compatibility, the final interviews come from you, where you talk about your expectations, what the role is, what the compensation structure is, what you need, so on and so forth. That's how it's typically done. And then when you find someone that you like, then you tell management, look, I interviewed, you know, 5 or 6 people that were pre-screened, and I've narrowed it down to 2 that I'm very interested in, and I want to take the next steps to extend an offer. That's kind of the process.
Got it.
So then you have pre-selected the individuals based on the criteria that's established in your proposal. You know, management understands your current state and then what you're proposing. And so, you know, look at step 3 in that proposal. We're saying 5 years minimum financial services experience working with clients, CFP, MBA, JD credentials, currently has some clients willing to assume the role as planner and market investment strategist for the team, strong capabilities for business development, client-facing abilities, and the ability to work well in a team environment and accept direction from the senior leader on the team. That is the criteria. Now, anything I'm missing? Anything I'm missing?
I think that's really good.
Okay. I've done this before. Then your
right.
Your compensation structure then is look. Here's what a firm will do. They will pay a percentage of the trailing 12 production in the form of a deal. And generally speaking, these deals are 5 to 7 years. There's often an asset look back that if the guy comes in and says, well, you know, 5 years, I've got, you know, 70 million in assets, then you know he's not an aggressive marketeer like you are, but he's good with clients. So maybe you accept that. So the offer on the table, which your firm structures, is we're going to give you a base salary. We're going to give you a bonus based on the individual contribution to the team's overall growth and production from your current baseline revenue. And then we're going to give you a little bit of an upfront payment to make the transition. And that'll also be based on clients that transfer to the firm from that new hire's book of business. And then I have a model of what that new team looks like, which is in the diagram that I created.
Kyle,
no,
looks good. I think you did a heck of a job here.
Okay, well, thank you. So next then is let me just do a quick polish over the next couple of days of the proposal, and I'm sure the firm already has a number of recruiters that are either on retainer or that work for a fee, which is paid for by the firm. So then you got to take the whole idea, the whole concept, and take it to your boss. Now, one of the things that I would want you to be able to do is to talk about your current state of the business and where the business could be headed with the addition of this person. So what I've created is a, kind of a compensation software program. Can you see my screen at all?
I cannot see your screen.
You cannot
see. Michael, if you just log in to the Zoom, to pull up his calendar invite and just click on the Zoom meeting request.
Yep.
Let me see if I can get this thing going before you go through all that work. Hold on one second. I'm going to...
I think I'm clicking on the wrong Zoom.
Yeah, it's probably on your calendar for today.
The personal meeting, PMI.
I think that should be it. It should have a start time at around 10.
Mike, when you open up the meeting in the calendar, you're going to see the little join Zoom meeting with the blue link.
Yeah, I clicked that. I was joining the Geist meeting. Okay. All right, now it's highlighting a different number, 943412. I'm not letting you look at me right now.
Okay. Let's see. I'll send you the Zoom link. You want me to resend that?
I can see.
Oh, he's on.
Oh, he's on? Okay. Great. Okay. So.
Yeah, I'm live.
All right. Now, let me go to share. Can you see this thing that says team sales forecast analysis? Can you all see that?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yep. Okay. So let's just, I'm gonna play with this for a second so that you can see the effectiveness. So what I'm trying to do is that help position you so that you're going to management with some ammunition. Okay. So, as an example, I'm going to put in Michael, and then I'm going to put in Maria. And later I can go back and I can plug in the name of another producer and their approximate production. So let's say I go in here and I say, Michael is at 2 million, and you can give me more accurate numbers later. Okay. And let's say I've got Maria at 300,000. And let's say your payout is at 45%, Michael. Would that be a good guess?
Sure. Ours is like 48.
Oh, okay.
That's fine, though. But it's all, a bunch of it's deferred.
Okay. So I'm going to put 47 in there. And does Maria's payout coincide with yours? Tied to your production?
No, a little bit, right, Maria? But not like in general.
Okay. No, as of right now, just because I'm in the FA program, I get like 10% once I go over my salary, something okay. like that.
All right. So let's say that you, if you were a freestanding producer at 35%, okay?
Okay.
Now, what this thing shows here is that the actual compensation split is 80% to Michael, 12% Maria. And we don't have a team member C, so I'm going to take that out. And I'm going to put a zero there. And so now what I've done is I'm showing what the billable hours are. On a billable hourly basis, it's like $465 as a percentage of comp. In terms of a percentage of production, it's like $1,000 per hour. Okay? So that's what that's all that that shows. And it shows the, total production, which is at 2.3 million. And, again, the compensation, the equity split, the billable hours as a percentage of compensation, and as a percentage of production out of the total. Then I go down and I says, well, what if we grow at, I'm going to say 17% in the first year, and let's say 20% in the second year, we get ourselves up to maybe 25, and we stay at 25 through year 5, okay? That would project you out an incremental production, 400,000 to 500 to 800 to a million to a million two. The total team now has gone to 2.6 after the first year, to 3.2 in the second year, 4 million in the third year. Year four, we're at 5, and year 5, we're up to about 6.3 million. Okay? Then we're going to say, well, look, what are the assets needed that drive this business at an 0.80 velocity rate or return on assets? Well, if that's, and I can change that, you know, I can lower that to, you know, to 0.5. I can get it to 0.8. I can move it to 0.9, whatever. Okay. So it's telling me here that at a 0.9 velocity rate by year 3, you need to have almost 449 million in assets to hit that target of 4 million. Now, if our payout then is lowered down to a 0.60, you're going to need more assets in order to hit 4 million. So you're going to need 673 million in assets in order to hit your targeted production of $4 million. And by year 5, if you're going to try to do 6.3 million, you're going to need around 789 million in assets, almost 800 million in assets to get there. And, as you can see, what I've done, as you go down to the maximum number of team-based accounts, if I leave it at 85 all the way through 5 years, in other words, you keep doing stair-step to the stars and have 85 workable relationships, and this new team member C also has 85 workable relationships, then it self fills out. The total number of account relationships, the average assets per account, you know, in the third year is about 2.6 million. So what you've done is you've raised your threshold. Now, are you with me so far, Maria, Michael, everybody?
Yes.
Okay. The average revenue per account then gets up to about 15,000 per account. You know, year four jumps to 19, and by year five, we're talking about 24,000 in revenue per account, still maintaining 85 relationships. Okay. Your thresholds now, have gone to 2.3. So now, that's a 3.3. Which means by the third year, your minimum account size is about 3 million in year four. And it jumps to 3.8 million in year five. So what you do, what you're doing along the way is you're continuously raising your targets. Okay. And this calculates. This calculates a minimum acceptable asset threshold or growth rate of about 25%. It doesn't have to be that number. It can go down to 116. And as you can see, the numbers drop. Now, the reason you see this variance is I changed your asset velocity rate. So if I made your asset velocity rate continuous at 0.80, you're not going to necessarily see that fluctuation. Okay. I had that at 116, and what if I moved it to 120, 125? Okay. So 3.8 and by year five. Now I'll go here and just look at the asset growth chart. Okay, so this really is showing a 9.9% compounded annual growth rate from year one to year five. See, that's where that 789 million in assets gets to in year five, 631 in year four. So I calculate your compounded annual growth rates and assets. Now let's look at, you know, production credits. The compounded annual growth rate in terms of your production credits or revenue is like 23.68, you know, on a blended basis from year one to year five. So we chart that out. Then we look at asset thresholds. Okay. And again, that's, you know, your minimum acceptable asset threshold, you know, going through these various years will show you at 3.86 in year five. That's a 9.97% compounded annual growth rate. And again, your total revenue, which is kind of the same equivalent of production credits, is and that's on a per account basis. So how would you like to have, you know, in year four, 85 relationships, and they give you $24,000 in annual production credits?
That'd be great.
Okay. But you have, that means on, in terms of raising targets, in terms of who you're willing to work with, like that $17 million relationship you brought in, you have to continue to set new thresholds and benchmarks. You know, maybe you reevaluate it every 6 months, but at least on an annual basis, your threshold changes in terms of the clients that you go after. So now what we've done is we've got a concept and an idea, and now the manager is excited because he sees that this isn't just a panacea, it's a strategy of growth based on revenue and production and assets. And these are the kind of forecasts that you can do, you know, on your own. As you can tell, it took me very little time to do this. So that's all this does. I designed it based on kind of a 48 week production time frame, 256 production days in a year. And that's how I kind of created it. But I have room to insert all the producers on the team. So if you had a team member C, a D, an E, you know, you could look at the numbers for everybody and make adjustments. Any questions on that, Michael?
I do not.
Okay. All right. So now you don't have to go through a laborious process to kind of calculate, you know, geez, what are we forecasting? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? The quantitative aspect is done. Now, the qualitative aspect is me saying things like, well, you got to do stair step to the stars. You got to raise your production thresholds. You got to reduce the number of account relationships you work with. That's the qualitative part. Okay. All right. So that's all I wanted to share with you on that team forecast. Maria, did you have any questions? Did it make sense? Was it easy for you to understand?
Yeah, it was very easy to follow.
Okay. All right. So the next thing that we wanted to talk about, are we kind of done in terms of how do we position yourselves to have the conversation with management on what you're trying to accomplish here, Michael?
Yeah, I think that's a good matrix, and I think it's a good good presentation. I think they would find it professional.
Yeah. So now you're ready to have that conversation. When do you think, and part of that conversation has to be, okay, we gotta identify, you know, the appropriate headhunter. We gotta talk about what we're looking for. They gotta inform me of kind of the progress we're making in identifying the appropriate candidate. And
how do you go about finding the headhunter?
Okay, well, Morgan Stanley has an approved list of people that they use.
Okay.
So, you know, your manager has to go and say, hey, who are we using, you know, in Ohio that can identify this type of individual? And if you wanted, you know, you could actually, let's say they presented, three potential candidates to you, you can interview them and say, hey, look, based on my three choices, you know, I'm going to choose Mindy Diamond or whomever. Okay? That's how that would work.
Right.
And then they get to work and they start presenting candidates to be interviewed by your manager. Okay. No. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk with you today. We're getting a little feedback, so we got a phone going here.
Sorry, that's me.
Oh, okay. So
I'll mute it when I'm not.
Yeah. So what I would say now is the time to just kind of share from an accountability standpoint in the final few minutes we have left is how's the team doing? You know, we've been dealing with COVID-19. We've got a lot going on. How are things so far? And what can I do to continue to support you?
I mean, I would say we're cranking away. I mean, we bring in assets weekly.
Well,
I think this has just made us stronger, and the need for an office and the need for sit down meetings is less and less and less.
Yeah.
It's just continuing to get better at what we do, you know, continue to become better financial advisors, better communication with our clients. And I think it's just strategically adding pieces on and working on the business, not just in the business, because right now I think we're all knuckles deep in the business.
Okay.
These are good refreshers for working on the business.
Right. Okay.
You're doing a great job, Curtis.
Well, look, I appreciate that. There's more that I can do. And I think what we'll do is our next steps, I will do the things that I said I would do, which is tighten up the proposal and kind of write out for your the kind of a process that you don't give to the manager, but the proposal you can give to the manager.
Great.
Okay. Maria? Devin? Questions, comments?
She had to jump on another call.
Oh, okay. Okay, no worries. Well, that's about it, Michael. To the end of this week to polish up the proposal, and then I will send it to you via email.
You're the man. Thank you, Curtis.
All righty. You all have a great rest of the day. It's good to see you and talk with you, and I look forward to our next chat.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.